excuse me, was salvation. And I think without salvation, you ain't going to go anywhere else from there. That is key. That is fundamental. That is the starting place. Excuse me. I'm not used to speaking this much all the time. That is the starting place of your relationship with Christ. That's the starting place of your walk with the Lord. And in John 3:3, Nicodemus had a question about what he must do to be saved. And Jesus answered him. And in John 3:3 says, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See, there is no other way to get into the kingdom of God. There is no other way for us to be saved. We got to believe in Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's pretty easy to understand that concept right at the beginning. God's Son came to this earth, died on a cross for us, and rose again. And if we believe in that, guess what? We're saved. Right? And and you can keep going on that, keep building on that, but that's just the start. That's just where it begins. You can't earn that salvation. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't, go to church every Sunday and hope that that gets you in. It's your belief. It's your faith that you have in Christ is what gets you in. It's belief and your faith in what he did for us on the cross that gets you into heaven. And then we have a reward for that. How many of you guys like rewards? Only a couple of you guys? Come on. How many like rewards? Yeah, cool. There you go. Got two hands in the back, right? And what a great reward we have for us waiting for us. I mean, Dale's mom, we'll call her Mama Gray. Mama Gray is living in that reward right now. She's in eternal life in heaven with her Savior. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, I like to be out in the mountains up by camping by a stream or something in the cool of the evening and just hang out there by a campfire. That's great. That compares nothing to being with Christ in heaven. Nothing can compare to that. As much as I love being out there, I can't wait to get to that point. And that's our reward for us, for those who accept Christ as our Savior and who live our lives for him. And that's salvation. That's what we talked about. Then the next week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can read in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit is the power behind us. Remember Pastor Dale had that little skill saw right here that he would crank up once in a while and make a lot of noise, and he would say, "I got the power!" And, he'd kind of go crazy like that. That's that power. That's that power that we have. And it's the initial evidence of that power is speaking in tongues. Now, it's not weird. It's not scary. It's not funky, right? And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can continue to seek it. But for those of us who have, it's just natural. It's just natural. It's just a language that comes out from you. And when you're hurting, or when you're lost, or when you have nowhere else to go, or don't know what else to say, you start praying in tongues and speaking in tongues, and God knows your heart. He knows where he's taking you, and you feel that power. It's the Holy Spirit is that power that gives us to talk to people. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to stand up here and talk to a room full of people. When in high school, I couldn't even get up in front of the classroom and say anything to them. So the Holy Spirit gives us the power that we need to live out our lives. He gives us the power that we need to live it out day after day. And without that power, without that presence of the Holy Spirit around us, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it because it's tough. It's tough to do that. And he's more than that, though, too. It's that power that allows us that allows us to understand and learn more about who God is. Right, the Holy Spirit gives us that insight that when we read the Word, and sometimes it's a little confusing, he gives you that insight on what you need to understand on what you're reading. The Holy Spirit gives us the confidence we need to walk out this Christian faith that we have. The Holy Spirit, man, when worship this morning, I was getting goosebumps this morning from the song we were singing. That's the Holy Spirit just touching your soul down deep inside. And without that, I mean, I don't think you have any feelings. You got no heart. You got no love. The Holy Spirit is all that we need. And it's so refreshing to know that when Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You know, it was sad enough at that time that they knew Jesus was going to leave. But then he said he was going to send you my Holy Spirit to be with you. And he did. That Holy Spirit here is with us. So when you feel those goosebumps or when you feel those chills or you have the confidence to talk to somebody who's lost or share the gospel with somebody or get up in front of a congregation and preach, know that that's the Holy Spirit living in you. He's the one that gives me the strength for my ministry, and I couldn't do anything else without that. Then the third week we talked about divine healing. Divine healing. And Pastor used the scripture in Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, or by his stripes, we are healed. All that Christ went through, all that he endured on the cross, was for us. So that we could have healing. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. All that he did for us. All that he went through just showed his love for us. That a man would endure all that for us. And he did it for people he didn't even know at the time. Right? He did it for people he had never met. He did it for people who would hate him and would persecute him and would persecute his people. He did it for them. He did it for all of us. He did that so that we could have healing. Physical healing, emotional healing. And some got healed, right? Some received that healing. Some are going to receive it. I'm sure a lot of us have received emotional healing from scars that we've carried when we were younger, baggage we've carried. God does all that. And it was made possible because of what Christ did for us. And it didn't stop back then. It didn't end back then. Right? I don't know about you, but when I read that Bible, we serve the same God that's today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That means that stuff doesn't end. That divine healing is still out there for us today. And it's nothing that we can do. It's not a special prayer that the pastor prays. It's not a special anointing that comes on it. Right? Nothing like that. That's just God's sovereign will to heal us. It's his love for us and his compassion for us to heal us. And we have nothing to do, only to do, but to have faith. That's all we have to do is to have faith. Matthew 9, verse 28 says, when he entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. It was their faith that healed them. It was their faith that healed them. We got to have the faith to step up and come to the altar and ask for that healing. We got to have the faith to believe that if we share with somebody and ask them to pray for us, that we're going to get healed. It's not the person praying for us that's going to heal us. It's our faith that helps us to do that. And if we can't step out of our chairs and move forward and at least ask for that healing, God could work because he does miracles. But I wonder how many times we're holding back from a healing because we don't step out in faith and move forward for that. All we have is faith. That's all our part. God does the rest. God heals and God changes our lives. God restores our body. He restores our hearts. He mends what's broken. All we got to do is have faith. And then last week, Pastor Christian, who was probably in the kids' church, I think, right? He knocked it out of the park last week for a baseball kind of guy term. I like baseball. He hit it. He hit it hard. And he was good. And it was great to see him preach. That was my first time I got to see him do that. But he talked about the rapture of the church. The hope that we have in our salvation. The future that's ours one day. And he used the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord always. Always. I don't know about you, but I like these new speakers. They fill the room really well. But can you imagine the trumpet sound that's going to fill the whole world? Right? The whole world is going to hear that trumpet sound. The whole world is going to hear that shout. The whole world is going to see people just gone. And I want to be one of those to go. Right? I'm looking forward for that. You know, and if the Lord should tarry, then, you know, when I'm in the ground, I'm still going to get a It'll be a little quieter poof because, you know, but I'll get to go first. All right, I'll beat the rest of you guys. But what a hope, right? What a hope we have for that one day we're going to be with Christ in heaven. And it doesn't matter what happens on this earth. It doesn't matter what we go through or what we're walking in or what we're dealing with. We have a hope that one day we're going to be in heaven with Christ and we're going to live with him for eternity. And it doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't. And Christian talked about being the ending of our story. Now, I like stories. I like great endings. Endings are powerful. They really wrap up what was happening. And what better ending to be a pfft? Right? I'm just saying. But we need to live it out. It's one thing to know what we believe and to see those things and come to church and, you know, yeah, I know about salvation and, yeah, I'm baptized. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healing and, you know, I'm waiting for the rapture one day, but we need to live it out. It's much more than just what we know. It's got to be more than that. And we got to live it out, not just here on Sunday mornings from 10 to 11:30, 11:45 when pastor's on a roll. It's, you know, we got to live it out day in and day out. In here, in home, in public, in private, we need to live it out. Month after month, year after year, we got to live out what we believe. Mama Gray lived out what she believed. And it was evident in the stories that Pastor Dell has told me. And it's evident in the video that we saw of just the peace and the comfort that she had in the end. She lived it out. And she lived it out in front of her family, in front of everybody else. But I have a question for you. Why? Why do you need to live it out? Why do we need to live out our faith? Why? Because the pastor says so? Nope. We need to live it out because we have a hope and a glory that's in God. The Bible talks about that. We need to live it out because in the end there's a reward. Now, the scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read from the Bible. It'll be up there on the screen. There it is. So it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Not only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And the hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has been given to us. Now that's kind of a model of how we live. It's a formula of how God wants to grow us. Right, we go through suffering, and suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, the hope that we have that we will be with God, that we will live with God one day forever. So let's start with that first part, suffering. It says there'll be suffering. Some say there'll be tribulation. Some translations say tribulations. There's going to be times where life just stinks, and it's hard. And a lot of people ask, you know, if you serve such a good God, then why do bad things happen? Well, I'll tell you why bad things happen, because we live in a flawed world, right? We live in a world that's eroding, that's dying. From that first sin that Adam and Eve partook in, ever since that day, this world has been dying. And it's not perfect, and it's flawed. So tribulations will come our way. Sufferings will come our way. Whether it be death or illness to you, a tragedy, it could be emotional sufferings, could be circumstantial, right? Things could go wrong in your life. Financially, a life event, things go wrong. You know, there was about a 2-year period where things were just going wrong in the Hernandez house. Let me tell you, it all started when the garage door broke. Right? Now, you may not think that's, oh, it's just a garage door, but it's a garage door is broken. I couldn't get my camping trailer out of the garage without the garage door being open. So we got that fixed, and we thought, okay, just move on from there. Then we're sitting at the dining room table and start to see this drip come down from the ceiling through the light fixture. And if one of the kids was taking a shower upstairs. So the drain in the upstairs shower started to leak. So we cut out a hole in the ceiling. Well, I did cut out a hole, but I didn't fix the hole because that's not me. We cut out a hole. We fixed it. We patched it up. We thought, okay, we'll keep going from there. And then a few months later, we're sitting down there, and I look up, and I start to see this bubble in the ceiling again. In a different spot than the first one, right? So like, oh, really? So I go and don't ever do this, but if you see a bubble, don't touch it. But if you're going to touch it, make sure you have a bucket with you, because I touch, the water comes on me, and I'm like, oh, no. So it turns out the toilet was leaking. The toilet was leaking. I don't even want to think about the water that fell on my face. We won't go there. So we got that fixed. And, we're cruising along. Then I come home from work one day, and I'm walking downstairs, and it's just hot in the house. And my wife's standing there. Our downstairs AC broke. The air conditioner went out. Right in the middle of summer, the air conditioner decides to quit. It can't quit in the wintertime. No. Doesn't want to do that. So then we find out it's going to take a couple of days to fix the AC. So luckily, in our house, we have 2 units, one for downstairs and one for upstairs. So I hung a curtain or a sheet in the stairwell to keep the cold air up there and prevent the hot air from rising up. And it kind of looked like one of those hazmat tents with a bubble that you had to kind of walk through to get upstairs. But we walk in the front door, I throw myself down and quickly go upstairs because it was hot downstairs. We'd be up there and we'd have to draw straws of who's going to, go grab the dinner. They'd have to go all the way downstairs to grab the dinner and go through the heat of the downstairs. I think Matthew went one time and we had to tie a rope on him so in case he collapsed, we could pull him back. It was tough. It was tough. But thank God our bedrooms are all upstairs so we could sleep in comfort and in peace. And we could just run downstairs, grab the food and take it back upstairs. We lived off cold fried chicken for a while because you didn't want to have to cook anything. It was good. Your life was good. But then, wouldn't you know it? If the downstairs got a break, then the upstairs has got a break. Yeah, that one broke. And we're like, okay, this is getting tough after a while. It was getting tough. Then our dishwasher breaks. Our washing machine quit. And then just recently our shower, it's always the same shower. It's our master bedroom shower. Maybe we should just board it up and get rid of it. But the part where the shower head comes out of the wall, that had leaked down behind there. We didn't know it. I was walking down the hallway, and I saw the baseboard was swelling up. It was big, and I went to touch it. It was all wet. So we call a plumber, because I'm not a plumber. And he goes, yeah, we got to cut open that wall to see what's behind there. I'm like, you got to cut open my wall? I mean, it's a wall. And thankfully he did because there's black mold that was growing back there. So they had to take care of all that. And then subsequently had leaked to the bottom roof again. So a bigger section of roof had to get cut out and repatched and put back together. Man, it was just one thing after another. It was tough. It was some suffering. It was tough. It was financially. It was emotionally. It was physically because it gets hot when the AC is working. But it was okay. It was okay. And every time we went through it, we gained a little care. We gained a little endurance, right? You gain a little bit of endurance. You learn how to put up with it a little bit longer. And it doesn't always, not always necessarily a bad thing that's suffering, right, or tribulation. Having kids, right? Even though kids are wonderful and they're beautiful, they're going to give you some tribulation. They're going to give you some suffering. Try having 8 of them. They're going to give you lots of tribulation and suffering, right? And at different stages along the way. You know, but as parents, there is no other greater joy than our kids. It really is. But, you know, there's some hard times coming in there. There's some bumping of heads that's going to happen. There's some correcting. There's some instruction, even though they don't listen to it because they think they know it all. It's tough. But don't fear. Don't get worried about trials and tribulations that come your way because it produces endurance. John 16, 32 and 33 says, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." Right? "In this world you have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world." Take heart, church. He's overcome the world. So it doesn't, you know, it's not going to stop the tribulations. It's not going to prevent it from happening. But we got to know that the Father is with us. And I don't know about you, but there's nobody else greater that I'd want to have on my side and with me through those times. Because the Father is with you. Suffering and tribulation is going to happen. We can't avoid it. We live in a flawed world. We live in a dying world. But it's how you handle it. It's how you get through it. And just thinking about that, you know, when I was first putting this together, I was trying to think, you know, I even text my wife, Gina. I go, "Has there ever been a time where, you know, we just, things kept happening one after another? And we couldn't, for a while, we couldn't think about it. We're like, no, I can't really think of a time." Then I mentioned something to her, I think about the shower or something like that. And then she brought back a whole list of stuff that happened, right? I think you forget about those times, right? The Father gives you short-term memory in situations like that. You don't remember those hard times or those sufferings. So that way you don't dwell on them. You don't live in them. You don't just, you know, pitch your tent there and always stay in those hard times or sufferings. You move on from them. You go forward. And I think, looking back at that, I can see in my life, in my memory, that, yeah, I forgot about those hard times. I forgot how hot it was and all the leaks and how many times the roof had to get cut open, you know? Because I think you go through that, those sufferings, and you learn to endure. You learn to endure. And that was the next part. It says suffering produces endurance. And knowing that suffering or tribulation produces endurance, we can take comfort in tribulation. Yes, I said take comfort in tribulation. You don't got to be all, yay, it's coming. But you can be confident in knowing that you're going to endure. You're going to endure through this. Both of our older sons were swimmers in high school. And I remember the first day back from summer vacation, the first time they jumped in the pool, they could barely swim like a 50 without being tired or being, you know, running out of breath and just muscles aching. But by the end of the swim season, they could swim 500 yards no problem with lots of endurance because they had gone through it all. They had gone through the suffering of the training. They had gone through the suffering of the practices. They had gone through the suffering of all the laps that they had to do. It builds endurance. It allows you to get through. Right? A runner must get stressed to gain endurance. Sailors go to sea. Soldiers go to war. Christians, we have tribulation in our life. We face hard times and troubles. But yet through it all, we gain endurance. And I think that God uses these times of tribulation wonderfully in our lives, right? If you look back, he's always teaching you something. He's teaching you to hold on a little bit harder, hold on a little bit tighter to him, rely on him a little bit more. When you're going through a hard time because your loved one's sick, he teaches you to get down on your knees just a little bit longer and spend time praying for them. You learn to endure through the pain. And not just endure on a reclining chair, just sitting there, but doing something about it. Standing in the gap, fasting and praying and believing that things are going to get better. Endurance takes us to that next level. It grows us. It stretches us. It helps us to become better than when we first started out. It moves you in a way that you never thought you could be moved. But you know what the good thing about it is, and I know you've heard this before, God will never give you more than you can handle. I just wish you wouldn't think I could handle so much, right? I mean, come on. Give me a little bit less trust in my life. But no, it's true. If he's going to sit you through a tribulation, he's going to be there with you and give you the endurance to get through it. Right? Because he carefully measures out what we can handle. He looks at each and every one of us individually and says, yep, he can handle that. Yep, she can handle that. Oh, no, he won't handle that, so we won't put that on him. But he carefully measures what we can go through. And why? Because he wants us to grow in him. He wants us to mature. He wants us to get stronger. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So whatever we're going through, it's not the first time people have gone through it. Well, they didn't have ACs way back in the 1800s, right? They didn't have air conditioning back then. But still, they went through suffering and temptation. But this next part, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it, that you can build that endurance, that you can grow in him. He's going to provide a way out. We got to look for it. We got to go after it. We got to pursue it. And when we do, guess what? He gets the glory for all that. Right? He gets the victory of all that. And when that happens, when you come through that suffering, when you come through that tribulation, and God gets the glory, you really see, God, you really do love me. God, you really do care for me. You are there for me. You know, it may sound kind of strange, but he shows us his love through that. He really does. And it doesn't mean that, you know, the temptations or the tribulations are going to be gone. They're not going to end. He's just going to give us what we need to get through it. And in doing so, we're going to learn more about him. We're going to trust more in him. We're going to give him glory all the time. So now when something bad happens, I'm all right, praise God. He's got me through this before. It can't be any worse than the last one. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that because it could be. But I know and I have confidence. My wife and I have confidence in our relationship with each other, in our marriage, to know that he's going to get us through. All right, we've been married for 27 years. And when you sit back and look at all the things that he's done along the way, it just blows my mind. You see all the things he orchestrated in your life and how things came together, how we ended up here in Arizona, for one. I'm a California boy. I was born and raised in California. But because of our faith, because of our endurance, because of our relationship with the Lord, we believed he called us out here. So we sold our house, we were packing up our stuff before I even knew I had a job out here. I'd only applied for one job out here in Arizona, and I didn't know I got that job until the week before we actually left. But I had to quit my other job, we had sold our house, little tiny little house in California that was so expensive, don't ever go to California. Because I could never afford a house we have here in California, that's for sure. But because of our relationship with him and because our trust in him, we had the faith and the confidence in knowing that he's going to carry us through. There's going to be a way out because we truly believe this was of him, right? You got to know that when it's God speaking to you, it's going to work out because he'll provide it all. And we had to have that faith, right? We're packing up the boxes, still haven't gotten the call. You know, the for sale signs getting put on the front yard, haven't gotten the call. The sold sign is getting put on top of the sales sign. Still haven't gotten the call, but we knew God had called us. And the week before, I got the call. And that's the job I've been at for the past 16 years. And that's a whole nother story how I got that job and how it's allowed me to do so much for Rangers. But that, we don't have time. Well, we do have time. No, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. I don't want you guys to endure through all my stories. But God's going to give you that little extra faith you need to get through. He's going to give you that little extra portion of grace you need to make it through. So we know that suffering produces endurance. We know that. The Bible says that. Then endurance produces character. And that's really who we are. Endurance produces character. These hard times, these sufferings, they produce character. In Rangers, we have this part of the ministry. It's called FCF. It's Frontiersman Camping Fellowship, right? And with that, we camp and we dress like they did back in the early 1800s, 1840s, 1860s. So that's what we camp. You wear the buckskins. I have the buckskins and the moccasins and the big furry hat. And you carry your knife and your hawk. And you have a brand new shiny hawk, right? It's beautiful. The wood's all nicely stained and varnished. But the first time you throw it, you miss a target and it hits the metal and goes flying off. You pick it up and it's got a crack in the handle. It's a big old scratch. There's a big dent in the blade because you hit the metal part instead of hitting the wood part. But you look at that and it goes, no, that's not messed up. That's character. That's character in that hawk. Right? You have a lantern and you break one of the glass shield portions out of it. That's character. And that's what we are, right? Every time we go through a hard time, a little bump in the road, we get a black eye or a bruised knee or a bruised heart, that's building character. And it's giving you the character that you're going to need to survive in this flawed world. And that's almost the golden chain that we wear as Christians, right? The ornament that we wear as Christians is the character. Because you've suffered, and because you've gone through things, because you've hurt, you are that much more able to minister to somebody who else is going through that at that time. And you can tell them, yeah, I've been through that. I've been there. I'm hurting just like that. I know what you're feeling. Let me pray with you. Let me walk with you through this time. And you wouldn't be able to do that if you didn't have the character or didn't have the experience to go through it yourselves. Because we have victories. Because we have times of rejoicing. We can rejoice with others. When something happens great to somebody else, you feel just as much as excitement and joy as that they're feeling. You relate to that. That's the character that we have. It's the character that God is building up in us. I think of character also as our integrity. As a person, as a human, right? We care for those who are lost. We care for those who are hurting. We care for those who are being kind of left off to the side. And we wouldn't have that. We wouldn't have that love. We wouldn't have that compassion for them had we not gone through it ourselves. See, we know we can handle tribulations. We know we can handle the suffering because we've gone through it. So that's when we're able to sit next to somebody or kneel next to somebody in prayer and say, if God brought me through it, he's going to bring you through it too just as well. And that character also governs the way we think. It also governs the way we approach things, right? Like I said earlier, I had forgotten about all those things that happened before. I think that's God's character in me, not wanting to dwell in the past or live in the past, but always look to the future, always look to the hope that we have, always look to where he's taking us. It's that character that's in us. It helps us understand the word more, right? When you're reading a passage of scripture that someone else has preached or you've heard it before or you've claimed it for a victory in your life, you understand it just a little bit better. You understand it just a little bit deeper. Or you feel the burdens of others. Right, you feel the compassion for others. Or that character, you're able to worship a little deeper. So the Bible talks about how David worshiped. And you've gone through a season of trials and tribulation. And God's brought you through that. You can see when you read how David worshiped, how he danced in the street. Yeah, I could dance in the street too for what God's brought me through. I'll keep my clothes on, but I'll dance in the street. But you can relate to that. You can see that character that's in you is the same character of the people you read about in the Bibles, and it comes alive. It's more real to you. It's more personal to you. It's that character that allows me to live out my calling. I've been called to the ministry. That's my calling. Everybody else has a calling. Everybody has a calling. Just know that. It might not be the ministry, but it might be to watching the kids. God bless you with that. It might be cleaning up. Whatever it is, we all have a ministry, but it's our character that allows us to step into those ministries and do it with joy and do it with love and do it with peace and conviction. It's that character that we have that allows us to care for others. And it's that character that allows us to turn to God instead of turning to our old ways. Right, there are times when things have gone bad, and I could have, well, I'm kind of a different story because I was saved in the seventh grade, so I never really had a time of old ways, unless you call sixth grade an old ways, but that wasn't really it. But you can see, you know, that character allows you to instead of going back to that old habit you had, whether it was drinking or smoking or going back into the world, that character you develop helps you to move forward in that and look towards God. It's the character that helps you move on with life. And even when life throws you a curveball, right? When life throws you a curveball, it's that character you have that allows you to step into it and swing at it and hit it and knock it out of the park. It's the character that the Lord that helps us to think about things, helps us to understand and conceive and reason and wonder why and formulate our thoughts. It's the character of God that gives us because we've gone through suffering and we've endured and now we have character. And the new character, I think it's kind of summed up pretty well in Philippians 4, 8, 9, and it's pretty familiar to everybody if you've been in church for a while. It's a familiar passage. And it reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and God of peace will be with you." Right? Those are the things that character thinks about, things that are honorable, things that are commendable, things that are true, that are lovely. When we have the character of God, that's what we focus on. We don't focus on the negative. We don't focus on the bad or the things that have gone wrong. We focus on what God has brought us through. It changes our mindset. It changes our way of thinking. It gives you a new perspective on the world we live in. It gives you a new perspective on the outlook. It's character. And it's a character that's built as we grow in Christ. If I could have the worship team come on up. Character is what we need to live it out day after day, week after week, night after night. It's the character in our lives that pushes us through. So Romans chapter 5 says, "Suffering will produce endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope." It's the hope that's the end result. It's the hope of the glory of God that we're going to rest in one of these days. It's the hope of a future we have with God, living with Him, spending time in heaven with Him. And it's the hope that we have, the knowing that, you know, these times now here on this earth are temporal. They're not going to last forever. It's that hope that allows us to move forward. It's that hope that gives us what we need. Titus 3, 7 and 8 says, "That being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." It's that hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Hope is profitable. Not in the sense that we're going to be rich, we're going to have a mansion on the hilltop. Not in the sense that we're going to be millionaires. But it's going to be hope in knowing that we have eternal life. It's the hope in knowing that we can boldly approach His throne and we can step into His throne room and He receives us. It's the hope that knowing you can stand in the very presence of God while still here on this earth and just feel it to your core and know that nothing's going to come your way that's going to knock you down. And you almost feel invincible, that you can withstand anything. And it's that hope that we're going to get to spend eternity with Jesus. That time where we can sit by Him, next to Him on a log in a river, maybe doing some fishing. But you get to spend that time with Him and just speak to Him and hear His heart. And just hear, try to understand just the depth of His love. It's the hope that the faith we have is going to get us through. And no matter what comes our way, it's going to get us through. And it's the hope that knowing our Heavenly Father loves us. Man, He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And there's nothing else He would rather do than have communion and fellowship with us. Right? That hope, it's learned. It's learned through experience. It's learned through living it out. It's learned through enduring the hard times. It's learned through the character that we are. But it's peaceful. And it's assured in our lives. And we know that with that hope, man, we can do anything. You can get up here and preach the word. You can talk to the homeless on the street. You can work at the girls' home and minister to them. It's that hope that we have that allows us to go to other churches or go up to Carrizo and minister to the community up there. Because I don't know about you, but when you have something good, when you have something that's precious and that's wonderful, you want to share it. You don't want to just be stingy and hold on to it. Right? It's not mine. It's the world's. We can share it with the world. We can share that hope with the world. And that's God's plan for our life. That's what God does in our lives. He tells us to rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because of God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That's God's pattern for our life. I want that pattern. We should all go after that pattern. And in doing so, when the hard times come, you'll withstand, you'll walk through. You'll make it. We got to know what we believe. We got to have faith. We got to live it out. Live it out in public. Would you stand with me and we can pray this morning? Father, we thank You for this morning.